fire, and beautiful you are. All things wire, wonderful you are. In my darkest night, you brighten up the skies. A song will rise. I will sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are near is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Start again, Creator God, you're calling me your friend. Sing praise, my soul, to the Maker of the sky. A song will rise.
I will sing
a song of hope. Sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are near is enough. God of heaven, come down, now sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, just to know you and belong is enough. God of heaven, come down. God of heaven, come down, just to know that you are near is enough. God of heaven, come down, I will sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, just to know you and me love is enough. God of heaven, come down.
Go before.
It's great.
Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You see what we don't see. You know what we don't know. It's so much better that way. So much better that way. We trust in you. Our eyes can't see. We turn our eyes to you. We bow down at your feet in worship.
Your love, your love, sir. see. The evidence is all around. That the Spirit of the Lord is here. No miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. As the Spirit of the Lord is here.
To worship. Worships you, so will I. I will not let a rock cry out in my place. I will worship you, Jesus. Jesus. Let's sing that bridge one more time. And let's sing it with power. Let's sing it with passion. Come on, let's cry out to the Lord today. Let's cry out with creation. Let's declare the glory and the wonder and the power and the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah.
If the stars were made to worship, so will I. Yeah.
God a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If you're tuning in online today, thank you for joining us. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. And there are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so on our website. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. If you're giving by check, please include your email in the memo line. This is where we will send you a giving receipt. And if you're in the building today, we welcome you to make your way forward to drop your gift in the buckets. And at this time, I'm going to welcome Shelby to do a worship dance.
Tired of being sick.
hello, friends. Oh, it's great to see you back with me this week. For those of you who may be new, let me introduce myself. I am Dr. Smarty Pants, knower of all things. Last week, we started learning about wisdom, and we will continue on our quest for knowledge this week. In my extensive studies, I have found that part of being wise is knowing who to trust. So today, we will have a few guests on to see if we can determine some traits associated with people that we can trust. For today's first interview, we have an extremely trustworthy guest. We all know you can trust everything he says. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Willie the White Lie Weatherman. Willie, you're on. Well, hello, Smarty Pants. And hello, my new friends. It is I, Willie the White Lie Weatherman, the most popular weatherman on television, might I add. Before we go any further, please pick up your phone and like me on social media. I'm really close to 1 million followers, and I want to make that mark. Oh, let's see. We have our first quality here. Extremely popular. Interesting. Willie, could you explain to the audience how you come up with a forecast each week? Oh, you want to know how I come up with the weekly forecast? Well, it's pretty complex. But I'll tell you what, I'll try to take it slow so that everyone can keep up. You see, first of all, I have to get my hat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just any hat. This hat contains weather patterns from across the world. They're all inside here. So let's say I need to know what's going to happen on Monday? Here we go. And Monday, the forecast will be 85 degrees. It's going to be a warm one. And let's see if anything else is happening. Let me see here. Oh, and rainy. Don't forget your coats on Monday, ladies. And you know, sometimes I like to shake it up and I just skip to the end of the week. We can come back and fill in those middle days later. Let's go for the weekend. Everyone wants to know what the weather's going to be like on the weekend. Let's see what we have for Saturday here. Saturday, it's going to be, 30 degrees. Boy, it's going to drop off quick. 30 degrees and, snowing. Man, you might not want to go to the beach this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. So, Mr. Smarty Pants, you see, I just go through the week and I fill in each day with my hat. And it really doesn't matter if what I put up there is right, because everybody knows you can't really predict the weather. The main thing is I get a lot of people to watch my show. This approach doesn't seem very scientific. Really, let's have a look at you at a recent storm event. Let's see what we can learn from your actions.
Guys, as you can see, I'm out here on the beach, and this wind, man, it's about to blow me over. I tell you, I think this is the strongest storm in history. I just have to lean into it, and then maybe I can make it back on the camera. I'm gonna stay on the air all night long. Guys, just remember, not just every weatherman would put himself in danger like this. Be sure to follow me on social media. I need your support to stay on the air.
Willie, if I'm watching this video, it would appear in the back that the wind is not actually blowing. Wait a minute. I know in the background it looked like the sun was shining in that video, but you guys weren't there. That wind was really blowing. And besides that, even if it wasn't, nobody wants to see a nice, calm, sunny day. I mean, part of my job is that sometimes I might have to stretch the truth just a little bit to keep people engaged, to keep people watching, to keep the weather exciting.
Very interesting. Let's see. We have another trait here.
stretches the truth. Willie, I'm not really sure about what we're seeing here. Perhaps you could tell us why we should trust what you say.
What do you mean, why can you trust me?
Of course you can trust me. Don't you know I'm on television? Oh, I see. Another trait. On TV. Willie, I thank you for being on the show. Let me recap with our distinguished audience the traits that I have down for you. Let's see. Willie is extremely popular and worried about his self-image. He likes to stretch the truth to keep people interested. And he is on TV. Tell me, audience, do these sound like qualities that would immediately make him a trustworthy person? You think not? I see. There must be other things out there that we're missing. Let's interview another guest. Maybe he can shed more light on our problem. Miles, are you there?
Come on up!
Miles, we're here to determine what makes someone a trustworthy person. I will ask you a few questions, and all I need is for you to answer honestly. Are you ready? Tell me, who do you think you can trust?
Their name is Miles and Charles and Misha and Patty and Papa and Grandma.
Oh, it sounds like you think you can trust your family. Is that right?
Yep.
And why do you think you can trust them?
They love me.
They love you. Oh. Miles, do you think that if they had the option, they would tell you the truth or tell you a lie?
Oh, they tell me the truth.
Oh, tells the truth. What about if they promise you something? Do they keep their promises?
Yes!
Keeps their word. Well, Miles, let me go over the traits that we've established here. A trustworthy person should love you. A trustworthy person should tell the truth. And a trustworthy person should keep their word. Let's see, audience. Do these sound like the traits of a trustworthy individual? Yes, I think so. Tell me, Miles, is there anyone you can think of who always has these three traits?
I can always trust God.
God always has them. Well, by definition, then, God must always be trustworthy. And if he is always trustworthy, then it would be very wise for us to always trust God. I say, we really are getting to the bottom of things now. Thanks for joining me this time, and please come back again next week as we continue to learn more about wisdom.
Amen. We always need someone that we can trust.
Blushy, happy anymore. Bubble, and it out the sky.
We always, let's give Miles a hand. He did a great job. We always need someone that we can trust. It's kind of like a firm foundation for our life, having someone that we can always count on. The only person that I know that you can always count on is God. God can be trusted. Our story today comes from 1 Kings chapter number 8. It's Solomon. And Solomon has just finished building the temple. See, Solomon's father David had wanted to build the temple. He had started gathering things. God's people only had like a tent to for God's presence to rest in. But they wanted something permanent. They wanted to build a temple. But God told David, no, David, this will be for your son Solomon to do. And now God's promise has been fulfilled. Solomon has built a beautiful and magnificent temple. And the people are so excited. Solomon is so thankful. Now he can bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. The Ark of the Covenant was very important to God's people. It was a sign of their relationship with God. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, you would find the Ten Commandments still written on the original stone tablets and the rod of Aaron. So they had a big procession and they made a really big deal of it and brought the Ark of the Covenant into its resting place. God's presence came so strongly in the new temple that the priest could not even do their work. It was a cloud that just filled the temple. Solomon told the people, he blessed the people, he thanked God. He was so thankful that God kept his promise of being able to build a temple because Solomon knew that God could be trusted. This week, this reminded me of a story that I read before about a boy and a dad, and they went into a general store. And in this general store, you know, if you go into an old school general store, there's always candy. There was a jar of candy there, and the store owner looked to the little boy, and he said, go ahead, reach your hand in and grab a handful of candy. And the little boy didn't move. He just looked up at his dad. And the store owner said, come on, son, go ahead and grab a handful of candy. It's free. I'm giving it to you free. And then still the little boy looks up at his dad's face and he doesn't move. And so the third time the store owner said, son, just grab some candy. And finally the dad reaches over and grabs a big handful of candy. And they walk out the door. As they're walking home, the dad said, son, why didn't you just grab the candy like the store owner was saying? And he said, well, Dad, because I knew your hand was bigger. So that's a good illustration. I think about the difference of my little Jackson's hands and his daddy's hands. And that's a big difference in how much candy he would get. And that reminds me of how God can be trusted because even more so, God's hand is bigger than our hand. And if he makes a promise, then we know he's going to keep that promise because he's a good father. And whatever he has for us is always going to be good. In Proverbs, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 and 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, obey him. And he will make your path straight. We can trust God. We can know that he keeps his promises. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you can be trusted. Even more so, your hand is bigger than our hand, and you have good things for us that you've promised us. God, I pray you'd help us to remember that every day as we go forth, that we can trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. How many of you are glad God has big hands? Come on. Come on, give him a big hand, would you? God has a big hand. God has a big heart, and God allows his heart to be shed abroad on this earth through people. Amen. Today, we want to take just a moment before we preach the word and share one of God's great big blessings to this house. And I never will forget 29 years ago. Somebody say 29. 29 years ago, I came into a church with about a dozen people here, and one of the first couples I met was Rayford and Aubrey Brabble. Rayford and Audrey Brabble stood in the foyer. I was standing in the foyer, excited to be here, a young new pastor, and they stepped up on the steps, Brother B and Miss Audrey, that's really the real names, and they stepped up on the step, and I said to them, I said, well, you guys are a nice-looking young couple. And she asked me after the service, she said, why did you assume that we were a couple? I said, you could see it. You could see you were a young couple. And so many times, and for those of you who don't know the story, basically Brother B became a kinsman redeemer in the life of Audrey, his daughter-in-law. Come on. Could you see yourself doing that? Just imagine for me for a moment. How many of y'all are married and have kids? How many of you dads would marry your daughter-in-law? Anybody? Come on. I mean, I'm just wondering. Would you? Probably be a little difficult, wouldn't it? Well, when circumstances take place and you don't understand, you know, you don't understand everything that's taking place, but you know that God is doing incredible things. And you know that God is in charge of your destiny. Come on. And sometimes, you know, we don't understand what God does, but we know this, He does all things well. I've enjoyed 29 years of amazing times together with Miss Audrey. Miss Audrey, why don't you come and make your way to the platform for just a minute? Matter of fact, I'll let you spare the steps today and just come stand here with me. I remember one day, thank God for Sam's Club. Thank God for Lifetime tables that are lightweight. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the white ones with the blue legs. But how many of you remember when you scroll back a few years that the tables weren't from Sam's Club and they weren't 15 pounds a piece? They were 150 pounds a piece. Now, come on, do y'all remember that? But I remember as a young pastor grabbing those things and leaving downstairs and going upstairs with them because the balcony now used to be the fellowship hall. And I remember Miss Audrey and Brother B working around here one day, and Brother B just shook his head. And in the only way that he could say it, he said, boy, one day you won't do that. Okay. So, guess what? The day has come. I don't do that. I don't even move the light ones. Come on. But time has a way of slipping up on us, doesn't it? Amen. It has a way of slipping up in aches and pains and slowing down our speed and all these other things. And I tell you what, Miss Audrey, I have in my pocket. Really, I was thinking this week, I thought, what? And Pastor Joy asked me, she said, so what are you going to give Miss Audrey? And I said, you mean from the church or from us? She said, from us. I said, you know, she don't need anything but money. Amen. Just money. Amen. She said her kids is what her need. I said, you know, I don't want to give her a gift because it's just going to sit there. She might look at it. She might say, you know, that was the day that they celebrated my retirement. And I looked in my, I guess, my little private stock. I've been blessed to go to Israel a number of times. And I looked in my little secret place, and there were crosses and there were necklaces and scarves. And I said, well, she's got all that. I've given her scarves from Israel and all that. And I found something unique that Pastor Joy picked up. And we never really used them for anything. And it symbolizes, and I want you to hold on to this all the days of your life, because it symbolizes what you really captured from me and to me all these years. It's a heart. Amen. It's an olive wood heart that's hand carved and sanded in Bethlehem. And, you know, I gave you my heart a long time ago because we worked together. And I don't think I can recall a single time that you and I have had cross words. We never have. I've hurt your feelings before. Oh, yeah. Amen. Guess why? Because you worked for me, okay? You worked with me. And how many of you know that when you work with someone, you work for someone, you're going to get your feelings hurt now and then? Amen? Come on. But in the times that we faced where there was maybe, I don't even want to use the word contention because we never had a contention, a little bit of a difference of opinion, when the sun went down and rose up the next day, guess what? It was taken care of. Amen. And I just want to say to you in front of all of these people, I've watched you. I mean, I've watched you tirelessly clean this house from front to back, side to side. I've watched you go beyond custodial duties? Because when I came here, you just did it voluntarily. And I said to you one day, I said, you know what? That's not right. I said, if we're going to go where I think we're going to go in this church, you need to be compensated for what you're doing. And so we turned that volunteer position into a contract position. Amen. And I've watched you work all day, work the nights, work for special events, do all kinds of things to make this church look number one all the time. And I just want to thank you for your tireless efforts, for your heart, because you always, always, always wanted your church to be represented in this community. For every person who walked in this door, you wanted it to be represented at the best of the best. And you know what? God, you listen, Dr. Martin Luther King said this. He said, if God calls you in your life to be a street sweeper, let it go down in history that you were the best street sweeper the world had ever seen. And can I tell you something? That's the way you did this church. You did this church that way, all the way up until these challenging days when I came here one day during the COVID, and I said, that's probably the day I hurt your feelings last. I walked back in the kitchen. I said, what are you doing? Miss Audrey, what are you doing? She said, I'm working. I said, you need to get your stuff put away and go home, okay? You don't need to be here. And so I discovered a few days later, she was honest with me. She said, you know what? You hurt my feelings. I said, I know I did, Miss Audrey, but guess what? We got it straight. Amen. And it wasn't long before we began to talk about these days that would come, and she would say farewell to the responsibility of cleaning this house, God's house. And so today, after the service, many of you signed up today after the service. We have a catered meal. We want to give honor to you. There's a tree back there, and it looks like a tree in the winter right now because it's naked. All right? Yeah, all the leaves are gone. But guess what? There are the leaves right there. Okay? And they're going to reach into their pockets, and they're going to write checks and pull out cash money, and they're going to hang it on the tree. And it's our way of saying to you, thank you for all the years that you, with your heart, served not only God, but you served this church. Would you join me in giving a tremendous applause to Audrey? Hallelujah. And would you stretch your hand out this way? Would you do that? Would you stretch your hand out this way and join me in a prayer for her? Would you do that? Father, today in the strong name of Jesus, the Son of God, we come before you with gratitude in our hearts. Thank you, God, for someone who served as a woman of Proverbs 31, who served with dignity, who served with wisdom, who served with love, who served with compassion, who served with tenacity, who served with confidence to do what you called her to do. And Lord, I just pray right now that today will not just be a prayer of gratitude and a prayer of thankfulness and a prayer of appreciation, but today that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would touch her, God. And Lord, may your word be fulfilled in her heart and in her life, that her latter days will be better than her former days, God. That you, God, would be Jehovah Rapha in this house today and touch her body, Lord, and heal her of every sickness and disease that she may have that we may not even know, Lord. Thank you for touching her physical body, Lord, today. Give her strength, God. Father, her family's here today. They love her and cherish her more so than we do, and in a different way. But God, we pray that you would just give her many, many, many more days upon this earth, should you tarry your coming. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you give it up for Miss Audrey today? I love you, Miss Audrey. Please join us in the back at the close of the service today. Come on, one more time, stand to your feet. Let's just sing a few words of a worship course together before we go into God's word today. Put your hands together for the Lord this morning, would you? Praise the Lord. I wish I could get somebody just to stand up on your feet right now. Just stand up on your feet and declare, this is my time. Come on. Come on. This is my time. Your time for what, Pastor? Your time to move forward in your life, not to go backward. Your time to advance, not to retreat. Your time to be blessed, not defeated. Come on. Pull your hands up in the air and let's just worship God for a minute. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we come before you today with gratitude in our hearts, God. We're thankful today. We're thankful, God, that we can stand and give you the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto your name. We're thankful, God, that you blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, as Paul the Apostle said. We're thankful, Lord, that you're the glory and the lifter of our heads today, God. You're our rear guard. Father, we thank you that you are a strong and mighty tower, that the Bible declares that we can run to you and we are safe, God. Father, we give you praise today. We thank you, God, that you bless us when we rise up and when we lie down. We thank you that you bless us, Lord, when we go out and when we come in. We thank you, God, that your word says, bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives our sins and heals our diseases and redeems our life and crowns us, Lord, with love and compassion and satisfies the desires, Lord, of our youth. God, that you renew us like wings of an eagle. God, we give you praise today for all that you're going to accomplish in us and through us. In us and through us. In us and through us, God. In Jesus' strong name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, before you're seated today, look at somebody and say, this is my time. Come on. This is my time. Hallelujah. This is my time. Ecclesiastes, the Bible declares, chapter 1, there are two verses here that I want to pull on here for a few moments. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. First of all, verse 1, the Bible says there is a time for everything. Amen. There's a time to work and a time to retire. Come on, somebody. Amen. There's a time to preach and there's a time to eat. Come on now. Amen. There's a time for everything, the Bible says, and a season for every activity under the heavens. Then drop down to verse number 12 and it reads like this. I know that there's nothing better for people, come on, I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. How do y'all like that? That's God's word. God wants you to be happy and he wants you to do good while you're living. Amen. Because when you ain't living, guess what? You're doing better than you've ever been before. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. But while you're living, he says, I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. September the 11th is a day we'll never forget, but it also happened to be the last day of our fast. 40 days. Somebody called me on the phone yesterday and said, well, Pastor, how you doing? How does it feel to eat food? Amen? Amen. Felt good. Amen? Had to take it easy. Had to start out like a rabbit. Amen? September the 11th marked the end of our 40 days of fasting and prayer. I pray it won't be the end of our prayers. Because that's what we need. We need to be a praying people. Amen? We need to be a praying people. It marked the end of the 40 days of fasting and prayer. Prayer for this church. Prayer for this season in which we're in. And so likewise, if you pray for the church, you know what you're doing? You're praying for the people, God's household of faith. I believe with all my heart that we are positioned. We're postured, we're posted, we're placed, we're put. Use any kind of words you want to put on it. I believe this with all my heart, that God has positioned us and placed us, say it in whatever term you want, but I believe that you can have your time. You say, this is my time. You can have your time if you activate God's giftings and presence in your life. How many of you know when you sit home, if you want to use the television, you pick up that little thing, and you know what you do? You activate it. You know, how many of you remember when you got up as a kid and there were only three channels, 3, 10, and 13? Anybody else grow up that way besides me? 3, 10, and 13, black and white television sitting on a cart with rentals wrapped around the ears. Come on! Y'all know what I'm talking about. But there come a time when down through the course of time, there came a time when now the big televisions are not heavy anymore. They're flat and they go up against the wall and you push the button and what do? You activate them. And if you have internet in your home, some of you don't even subscribe to a Dish Network or a DirecTV or something like that, but you have Wi-Fi in your home and when you get ready to watch something on TV, what do you have to do? You have to activate Netflix. How many of y'all have watched Wind Calls the Heart? Come on. Anybody? Come on, don't y'all watch television? Wind Calls the Heart. Pastor Joy started watching that and I thought after the first episode, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not. You know, every night with our senior selves, we sit in our rocking chairs with a Coke Zero, amen, and rock in our chairs and watch episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, about 11 o'clock will come. Want to go to bed or watch one more? I'd say, well, let's watch one more. Come on. But what do? We activate it. Can I just submit to you this morning that as believers in the body of Christ, you and I must discover that a lot of things that we are missing out on, we're missing out because you know why? We haven't activated those things in our lives. Come on, y'all are the quietest bunch of Presbyterians I've ever preached to on a Sunday morning in my life. You got to activate those things. I want to share with you this morning some precious promises that oftentimes we overlook or simply do not access because of ignorance or either apathy. I believe that if you'll allow these promises to hit your spiritual receptors today in your heart, your mind, your spirit, and to be deposited into your soul. What is your soul? It is your mind, your will, and your emotions. If you'll allow these to be deposited in your soul with some spiritual resourcing that will take you to the place where you and those watching you will understand why you can boldly say today, this is my time. Amen? How many of y'all sick of COVID? Come on. Sick of COVID. I wonder what to do on Halloween this year. Do they wear a mask? Amen? Well, what do you do when everybody's already got one? Aren't you sick of COVID? Aren't you sick of what COVID has done to our society? Aren't you sick of what COVID has done to our culture? Aren't you sick of what COVID has done to the church? Come on. I don't know about you, but I am. I was away last week preaching on the Outer Banks, had the privilege of ordaining a new pastor. Everything's changed in our movement, our organization. We no longer have collective ordination services, so I had to go down to almost the tail end near Patmos, Ocracoke, and Buxton, all around there, and ordained the pastor. installed a new pastor. But I can tell you something. The farther we got away from inland, in Buxton, it was like, COVID? What's COVID? We went to a place called the Diamond Shoals Restaurant and ate there a couple of times while we were there. You say, hi, you ate? Well, we enjoyed broth. Amen. Nice broth. They got great chicken broth. Did you know that? We enjoyed a time of fellowship and coffee and connecting one-on-one with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And really, it was almost like COVID was non-existent. It was nowhere around. We got down to Ocracoke and we met a couple down there for just an evening time of fellowship and social together. And when we got there, they said, oh, it's going to be about a 45-minute wait. Why? Because the place is jam-packed to the gills using every table. Where's COVID? Can I just tell you that not everybody is afraid? Come on. Not everybody's scared. Some people are just moving forward. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you said you believe. Yes, I do. There is a COVID virus. But it's just a comparative to the flu. Come on. Look at the numbers. And you know what we're being told? You know what the hand we're being dealt is that this is the thing that's just going to bring everything down. I read an article just this past week. I wish I hadn't even read it. They're estimating that for the next 18 months to 2 years will probably be the course of time for us to get over COVID-19. 18 months to 2 years. I said to you last time I preached to you, that I believe there's another pandemic that's lurking already, and it's not COVID-19. It's the rudiments of COVID-19. It's called depression, anxiety, self-destruction. There's all these other things that are coming along with it that are squeezing the faith of people, even the church. I had a friend that was preaching away just a few weeks, and I'm trying to be a friend to preachers, and he was preaching away just a few weeks ago. He said, hey, don't you know somebody? And he called the name of the state. I said, yeah, I preached down there several times. He said, well, you know, I'm down here. I'm going to be down here about 2 weeks. I'd love to be able just to, you know, just encourage pastors. I don't have to preach. I'd just like to take a pastor and his wife out to dinner. And I'd just like to sit around the table with them and encourage them during this difficult time and share with them what God has done in our hearts and in our lives during this challenging season in our church. I said, sure, that won't be a problem, man. Let me connect it up together and I'll call you back. So I pulled up my cell phone and I rang the pastor from, you know, part of the state that he was in. And I said, hey, man. I said, how's it go? Hey, Pastor Phillips, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, hey, I got a brother, a dear friend who's from Indiana, and he's in your neck of the woods. And, you know, he doesn't have to have a service, but he'd like to take you and your wife out to dinner and just sit around the table and just encourage you as a pastor. And he said, nah, I appreciate it. But he said, you know, he said, I'll be honest with you, Pastor. He said, I haven't even walked into my building since the first week of March. I said, what? He said, I haven't even walked into our church since the first week of March. I haven't even been in the building. We've had one of our security guys just go by and just check on things, make sure everything's fine. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, we've done a little bit of online, some Facebook stuff from home. Can I tell you that is not the Father's will for this body of Christ? That's not the Father's will. That's why I start. Listen, I told my wife, I said, today, she said, what are you preaching this week? I said, I'm going to encourage God's people. If you came here to be encouraged, good luck, okay? Good riddance to fear, good luck, fear. You don't have any space around here because today we're here to talk about faith. Today we're here to encourage God's people. Today we're here to build you up in your most holy faith. Today we're here to connect you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Today we're here to come in together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and worship Him and be inspired and be encouraged. That's what we're here for. I'm not quitting. I'm not backing up. I don't care how much they choke. I'm not backing up. This is my time. This is your time. This is the greatest time the church has ever had to seize the opportunity that is before her to move forward and extend love. We were blessed in the month of July to give away $117,000 worth of food from this parking lot. $117,000 worth of food. How much did it cost you? $1,000. $1,000 investment returned $117,000 worth of food trucked in here to bless a lot of families. Amen? It's not time to give up. It's not time to let up. It's not time to back up. It's time to move forward, number one, in faith. Faith is absolutely essential in this season. Faith is what moves you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Somebody say destiny. Amen? It moves you from where you are to where God wants you to be. In other words, there will be a shift, and you should look for a shift in your life. You should look for a shift and expect it, a shift from the natural to the supernatural. Because if I looked in the natural, I'd be a sub something to deal with. I'm telling you. Walked in a restaurant just the other day. Hey, can I get a cup of coffee black, please? She said, you don't have a mask on. See the sign on the door? You don't have a mask on. And I looked at her, and she's standing on the other side of an acrylic board hanging from the ceiling. And I said, neither do you. And she looked like a deer in the headlights. She didn't have a mask on either. You know what? This is the time to move forward in faith. This is the time to encourage people. You know, it's one thing to work for minimum wage at a local restaurant or something like that. It's one thing to work 40 hours a week for minimum wage, but then you got to put gloves on and you got to put a mask on and you got to put up with society and the attitudes and the anger that has been manifesting in the lives of people. We need to pray for those who are still working jobs today that God would help them, because it takes a lot of, here we go, faith just to want to go to work anymore. Come on. Faith. Faith is absolutely essential, and there must be a shift, and you cannot move into the dimensions that God wants you to move in unless you walk in these days of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, the Bible's never changed. This is what it says. And without faith, somebody say without faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, you're not going to please God. If without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him, here we go, must believe that He does exist and that He does reward those who earnestly seek Him. I don't know about you, but in this season of fasting for 40 days, I just pressed in. Somebody asked me, hey, what are you praying for, Pastor? What are you praying for, Pastor? My family members asked me. My wife asked me, what are you praying for? I said two things, clarity and focus. Clarity and focus. I need to hear what God is saying to me in this season, and I need to develop the eye of an eagle in the spirit. An eagle can spot a fish 2 miles away and put his talons down on that thing. I see it many, many times living where I live. 2 miles away, he can spot the future for him that's going to take place in just a few minutes. It's called a meal. And you and I need to have the eye of an eagle in these days in which we live. And it's going to take faith to have that. I feel sorry for a lot of people in the church. I feel sorry for a lot of people in the kingdom of God. Because I've talked to some, hear me friends, I've talked to some who've lost faith. I've talked to some who've lost faith. I've talked to some who've put faith on the shelf. I've talked to some who've replaced faith. Come on. Who've replaced faith with something else. Staying busy, doing something around the house, building that thing that they always wanted to build. They've replaced those moments of faith like we're having here today with something else. Faith gets God to move. Amen? Faith causes God to release His rewards. Come on. Faith causes God to let go of His blessings and the provision to us when we seek Him. Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. What are you hoping for today? Assurance in what we don't see. Faith is confidence in that which we are hoping for. What are you hoping for in this last quadrant of 2020? Has 2020 been a crazy year or what? Absolutely. It's been a crazy year, but what are you hoping for in this last quarter of the year? October, November, December. What are you hoping for? salvation to visit your lost family, spiritual empowerment like you've never experienced before, provision for some things that you fully know the Father wants you to have, He wants you to possess, healing in that area that you know only God can heal. I've met so many people during this challenging time that were already going through hard times and anxiety and depression and things like that. But this has thrown it into high gear. What are you hoping for? To have hope again? For a situation to change that will be an absolute miracle if it does change? How many of you know somebody who needs a miracle right now? I do. I've talked to somebody just a day or so that needs a miracle. Can I just tell you that God still responds to faith and God still does miracles and He still moves stones and He still heals and He still delivers and He still sets free and He still does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. God still moves when faith is activating His power. Amen? We need faith. God is saying you got to step forward in confidence of all that you hope for. Well, the 40 days of fasting is over. And I could just write in a couple of sentences. The answered prayer to my spirit as a pastor. God showed me in 40 days clarity on the following. And I could write down 1, 2, 3 things that God released. Like, how many of y'all have had in those days when you... Look, we used to have a TV. My kids were so accustomed to it. It was a bad thing. I'm sorry. But we had a TV that was just broken, busted. And in order to get it to work, it was play along nicely once in a while. But then sometimes it would just fuzz off and you'd have to go up and you just go bang, bang on the side. And when you give it a good lick, guess what? It started working again. And I've seen my kids just glued to cartoons and they go fuzzy. And they just keep on eating, you know, their snack, and they get up and they go, boom, boom, and it come back into the picture. Can I just tell you something? The church has needs to come to a place where we go to God and go, boom, boom, Lord, here I am. I'm here again in faith. I'm trusting you, God. I'm calling upon you. I'm activating my faith for you to release unto me those things which you promise. How many of you know His promises to us are what? Yes and amen to those who what? Believe. To those who believe, we got to have faith. Secondly, he says, faith is assurance of what we don't see. It's the confidence to believe in what we're hoping for. And secondly, it's the assurance of what you don't see. In other words, faith calls for you to see not with your eyes in the natural and aware of the present circumstances, but with the eyes of the supernatural, giving, here we go, no regard to the present circumstances. Amen? Let me say that one more time. Faith calls for you to see not with the eyes in the natural and an awareness of present circumstances, but with the eyes that are supernatural, giving no regard to the present circumstances. Can you think about anybody who would fall in that category in the Bible? A man who was promised kids, matter of fact, kids, 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 and more kids. More kids than the sands on the beach and the stars in the sky. But was having trouble in his own household getting a son that God had promised. Romans 4, verses 17 to 21. As it is written, this is what it says. I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God, check this out, who gives life to the dead and calls into being those things that were not. There's some things that are not right now that God is waiting just for the candidate to step up in the Holy Ghost and declare them over your family, declare them over your church, declare them over your community. God's looking for people who have faith. He's looking for people who have faith. Against all hope, verse 18, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith when COVID hit that community. without weakening in his faith. Oh, without weakening in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Listen, God can do what he's promised. God is the God who does not fail. Amen. He cannot fail. That's precisely the kind of faith that you and I are going to need to walk through the last quarter of this year. And can I tell you something? We're less than 60 days away from an election. 60 days away from an election. And I'll tell you something. If the Democratic Party gets it, it's going to be tough. Can I tell you something else? If the Republican Party gets it, it's going to be tough. See, some of you are saying, what's he going to say? I'm just telling you that no matter the outcome, this nation, hear me, beloved, I'm speaking prophetically today from my heart, from my spirit. I've listened to other pastors and preachers and folk who are in touch with God and listening to God. I believe that the last quarter of this year is going to be the most challenging, stressful time this nation, this church, this community, this region, this state, this world has ever known, because it's coming unglued. And we're still arguing over Democrat and Republican. We're still arguing over the way I vote and the way you vote. So whatever way you vote, it ain't going to be good. Okay? I know that's not proper English, but whatever way you vote, it's not going to be good. Somebody said, well, if Biden gets it, we're into civil war. And the other person who was hearing him say that said, well, if Trump gets it, we're in the worst civil war. And they just argued back and forth. And while they were arguing back and forth, I just said, well, I'm out of here. And I just walked away. Because you know what? I care about something more than elections and Democrats and Republicans. I care about the God, not of this world, but the God of the kingdom. The God of the kingdom. The God of the kingdom. I care more about the one who created me. I care more about the one who loves me, who gave his life for me. And while I am going to vote and while I am going to pay attention to the things that's going on, I'm going to live like I'm going to another world, because one day the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're not going to be here long. People need to get ready for Jesus. If you're in this house today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, people need to get ready for the Lord Jesus. We got to have faith to face the latter quadrant of this crazy year. He said to Abraham, so shall your offspring be. We're called to be people of faith, people of confidence, people of assurance, even in the absence of what it is we're hoping for. So it's absolutely essential for you to have faith. Secondly, not only do you need faith, you need favor. You need favor. You need divine favor. I'm walking in divine favor. How many of y'all are here this morning? You could raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm with you, man. I'm walking in divine favor in my life. Does anybody feel that way besides me? I'm walking in divine favor. But why? Because the Bible says that favor does what? It surrounds me like a shield. Go ahead, Satan, and throw your roughest darts at me. But I'm telling you something. I'm serving the one who gives me strength when I'm weary. I'm serving the one who can cause me to overcome when I feel defeat. I'm serving the one who could knock me down, but you know what? He can allow me to be knocked down, but he hasn't knocked me out. I'm serving the one who's bigger than any problem that I've ever faced in my life. I'm serving God, and God has favor on my life. I walk in divine health. I walk in divine favor. What do you mean you're walking in divine health? I don't get sick. Y'all getting quiet on me. We're the Pentecostals in the house today. Come on. I don't get sick. Well, you say, well, haven't you had a cold? Listen, have a lot of little things that try to invade my life. And if every time you get a little poot hung up sideways, you run to the doctor, you got a problem. Just release that thing and let it go, okay? Come on, I need to wake some of y'all up this morning. I'm just telling you, some people just, all they got to do is feel gas the wrong way and they're running to the ER. Pastor, pray for me. I'm heading to the ER. What's wrong? My husband's feeling nauseated. Stay home. Don't work the ER like that. They'll tell you in the medical field, 95% of everything called an emergency was never an emergency to start with. But what are we doing? We're running to the doctor for everything. My wife was riding down the road yesterday with me, and she said, she gave me this long test audibly in the car. Because I believe that during this 40 days of fasting and prayer, I believe that God did something. Well, you listen, you can't go 40 days and not eat food and not have a body that's cleansed and hit the default button. Come on, breath smells like, ooh, good gracious. Everything smells. You know why? Because your body is doing what? Detoxing. Thank you. And guess what? My spirit was detoxed. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Y'all making it hard for me to preach this morning. My spirit was detoxed. My body was detoxed. My mind was detoxed. And I suddenly realized as I was riding down the road, she's saying, do you have these symptoms? I said, no. Is it? No, no, no. And I just went down her list of 20 questions. Are you experiencing this? I said, no, no. And she just began to smile. And we made some decisions of the way that we would, what we would consume and what we wouldn't consume, even post-fast. And I believe that a lot of that has to do, here we go, with the divine favor that God wants to rest upon your body, even in the physical realm. Man, y'all as quiet as Catholics in this house today. Come on. Maybe you didn't fast and pray. I don't know. I got a hold of something during the fast that I can't let loose of. Amen. I want to hear God more clearly. I want to know Him more dearly. I want to love Him. I want to love Him like I've never loved Him before. And I want to be in tune to what He says to me. I want to hear Him say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And I not be wondering and confused. Should I or shouldn't I? I want to hear God say yes and amen. Favor. What is favor? Well, biblically, favor is defined as pleasure, delight, and goodwill. It is defined as over-generous treatment. Wait, hold on. Did you hear that? Favor is defined as treatment that is over-generous. In other words, God is being over-generous with you. So you just heard me say, I believe I'm walking in favor. So I believe that God is giving me over-generous treatment, okay? How many of y'all got any grandkids? Do you know what it is to give over-generous treatment to people? Come on, come on! That's the way it should be for you as a child of God. Amen? For you to get over-generous treatment. Over-generous treatment has happened in this ministry for years. I'm sitting in the office one day. A total stranger comes up and knocks on the door. He has boots on, muddy. He's got a truck out in the parking lot, and it's all filled with mud. Wheels are muddy, and the truck's muddy. Hadn't been washed in a long time. And he says, I'm looking for Pastor Phillips. I said, I'm he. He said, come on, get in the truck with me. And I'm thinking, what? You just walk up to the church, a total stranger, and you're looking like you're, you know, king of the redneck community around here or something, and I'm going to get in the truck with you? He says, come on, get in the truck with me. So I just felt, you know, I just felt a check in my spirit right quick. Lord, should I do this? And the Lord said, yeah, go ahead and go. Go ahead and go. So I jumped in the truck. I said, well, you know who I am. But I don't know who you are. He said, I'm sorry, man, I'm frustrated. I said, well, what are you frustrated about? And he told me his name. I said, what are you frustrated about? He said, I'm tired of being in the rental business and folk won't pay me. I said, well, what is it you're renting? He said, I'm getting ready to go show you. And he took me back a couple of side streets in Ahoskie, and he pulled up beside two houses, put the truck in park. He said, see them two houses right there? I said, yes, sir. He said, I've been renting, and I'm tired of running around trying to collect rent. And as of today, if you want them, those two houses belong to Carpenter Shop Church. I said, well, hold on a second now. I said, you're having trouble collecting your rent. I said, I can tell you, Carpenter Shop does not want to be in the rental business. He said, I don't care if you sell them tomorrow. I just don't want them anymore. And he said, I'd give them to my church, but they ain't going to do nothing but put the money in the bank and set on it and talk about how much they got. Okay, you're a very frustrated individual. So here I am in your truck. And so I said, well, let me pray about that. And I bowed my head and I raised it right back up. I said, yeah, we'll take them. He said, and I'll even pay for the attorney. If you want to sell them, I'll pay for all the closing costs, and you can just tell them to give you the proceed check. So that's what we did. We sold two houses in Ahoskie and put the thousands of dollars in the bank and did kingdom work with it. Somebody say favor. Favor. I'm sitting in the office one day, and a man walks in, and he said, is Pastor Phillips here? They said, yeah, he's here. Can I tell him who wants to see him? And they told me, and I said, come on in. Never seen the man before in my entire life. And he sat down. He said, sir, he said, I've been watching you. He said, I love what you guys do. And he took out a piece of paper, and it was fold like you would fold a check three times, and he did it in Frisbee style, and he threw it across my desk. He said, take that and put it into ministry. Thank you guys for all you do. Have a good day. And I said, well, hold on a second. I said, tell me, you know, what's your name? He said, it's on the check. I said, okay. And he left the building, and he's never stepped foot in here again. And guess what? I opened the check up when he left, and it was $25,000. Somebody say favor. Favor does what? It surrounds you like a shield. God's favor is resting upon this little church in this little hamlet, this little village in Ahoskie, North Carolina. His favor is on this church. And he wants to release his blessings and his favor upon this church. And by him having favor on this church, and you're a part of it, guess what you're walking in? Come on, somebody. Favor. Favor. You say, well, everything you said came to the church. I could stand here and tell you story after story after story after story of tremendous acts of divine favor that God has rested upon me as an individual. Amen. Joy and I built a house 13 years ago. We lived in the parsonage back here for a little less than 20 years. And I built a house. And I had a price for the house to be framed, $29,000 for the house just to be framed, just the two befores and the joist and all that, $29,000. And when the framing carpenter finished, he gave me a bill. And I said, I thought you said $29,000. He said, just give me $2,900. I said, what? He said, just give me $2,900. We built the house. There were people sitting in this room that helped me build that house. Jack Terry, I remember Jack Terry working hours over there. Gary Felton, I remember Gary Felton taking the most daring of all jobs, all up in the peak of that story and a half, and putting on vinyl siding. People helped and gave of their labor. And I remember the day we sowed Bermuda grass in the yard and had shrubbery planted, and everything was looking so beautiful and complete. And the landscaper that I did not know had pulled into my driveway about 6 in that morning, and 6 in the evening, him and his crew put in 12 hours a day with their equipment and all of their stuff that went along with it. I said, okay. I pulled my checkbook. I said, I need to pay you. He said, yeah, let me get you an invoice. He went to the truck, and he scribbled a little bit, and he gave me an invoice, and I paid him, and he drove away. 10 days later, I get a little card in the mail. Opened up the card, and it said, Dear Pastor Phillips, it was an honor to do your yard. When I pulled out of the driveway when you gave me the enclosed check, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, here's a man you cannot charge. Please receive your money back into your account. Somebody say favor. Favor. Favor does what? It surrounds me like a shield. Well, some of you are sitting there and you just don't even want to receive the favor of God because you say, well, that's for preachers though. No, that's for the child of the living God. Come on, if you need favor in your life, stand where you are right now, please, because I want to pray a prayer over you. If you want the favor of God in your life, Father, in the strong name of Jesus, Lord, your favor rest upon this house, and Lord, your favor rest upon this leader, and I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that your favor would be released upon your people in this room, God. In the name of Jesus, release your favor. Amen. Receive it right now. Come on, give the Lord praise. Receive that favor. I could tell you story after story. You can be seated. Overgenerous treatment. You know, it's easy to discover. You guys can come on back. Don't let me run you off. I just had a Holy Ghost moment there. I needed to follow through with it. You know what overgenerous treatment is. Won't you receive overgenerous treatment from the Lord? You know, listen, I'm not a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, confess it, possess it kind of preacher. But can I just tell you something? I've come to discover that God loves to treat his children overgenerously. It's not about you laying claim on this and laying claim on that and I call forth a Cadillac in the name of Jesus. Maybe God don't want you to have a Cadillac. I wouldn't want one if you gave it to me. Well, go ahead. I changed my mind. I'll take it if you give it to me. I've been given cars. I was standing here on the front row one Sunday morning, as I always do, just standing here worshiping, and a young man walks up to me in the worship service, and he's in tears. He said, brother, he said, I'm back there on the back just praying. And he said, hold out your hand. And he gave me his keys. He said, God told me to give you my car. What kind is it? Nah, I didn't say what kind is it. I just said, okay, I bless you in that. And he gave me a car. I've been given cars. I've been given money. I've been given things, land. You've heard my story on the property. The Holy Ghost spoke to me standing on a wooded piece of property in Chowan County. Buy one, get one free. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? I don't understand this. I bought a piece of property, paid $165,000 for it, a piece of waterfront property. 6 months later, I put a sign in my yard, slid over to one side and built my house on half of it, put a sign in the yard for the other half. Guess what I sold my other half for? $170,000. Somebody say, buy one, get one free. God wants to do this for you. It's not the reason that you serve him, but you serve him and you get over-generous treatment that God says, I delight in this. It brings me pleasure. It brings me goodwill for me to bless my children. He wants to do the same thing to you in the field of your health. He wants to bless you. He doesn't want you sitting in the waiting room. He doesn't want you sitting on the doctor's table waiting for him to come in. He wants you to walk in health in your body. He wants you to walk in divine health in your body. I'm going to say it one more time. He doesn't want you sick. He wants you healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he's a God of favor. And if you're going to walk through the last quadrant of this calendar year, 2020, and if you're going to walk through the birth pains of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in these next few months, Matthew 24, you're going to need to have faith. Come on, somebody. You're going to need to have favor. You're going to need to have favor, or you will buckle under the pressure and turn your back on God. Psalms 5, verse 12. Surely the Lord, you bless the righteous and you surround them with your favor like a shield. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. You say, well, I don't deserve it, man. I got sin in my life. Who don't? Help me here. Who don't? Well, I can't believe the pastor said that. He's got sin in his life. So do you. So do you. And if you say you don't, the Bible says you're what? A liar. And the truth's not found in you. God made him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Wow. so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Favor is set aside for the righteous. You deserve over-generous treatment. Psalm 65, verse 11 bears this out. He talks about the manifold blessings of God being poured out. He says, the Lord answers our prayers. The Lord forgives us. As morning dawns into a brand new day and the evening fades, we're blessed to have seen another one. And the Lord answers us with songs of joy and waters to our lands. You crown your year with bounty. That word is translated in the Hebrew. You crown your year with favor. And your carts overflow with abundance. This no time to be afraid, church. Well, it's getting to be bad. Pastor Joy and I were in Walmart last evening trying to find some Clorox wipes. Just some wipes. But, you know, going to be gone for a few days and just want to take some Clorox wipes with us that if we stay in a hotel, we can kind of wipe things down. Big as Walmart is, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, ain't got a box of Clorox wipes. We were walking down the aisles of Walmart in Elizabeth City yesterday evening. I said, have you noticed something in this store? She said, yes, I have. I said, brands are missing. Brands are gone. Brands are diminishing. You know how you used to have 40 flavors of Tide? You know, you can have daffodil. You know, you had all kinds of flavor this and flavor that. And can I just tell you something? This is where you're heading. You're going to walk to the store and it's going to be detergent. That's where you're heading. You're going to walk down the aisle and it's not going to be Mr. Keebler or Sunshine or whatever cookies you eat. It's just going to be cookies. Well, how many of y'all said, I don't eat them generic ones? You're getting ready to eat generic food. Some of y'all are getting scared on me right about now. You don't have to be afraid. You know why? Because favor surrounds you like a shield. Come on, somebody. You don't have to be afraid. But your choices are getting ready to leave you. And some of your choices will not be made by you. They'll be made by your government. You better hear this preacher this morning. You better hear him. Because a day's coming when a lot of your choices will be made for you. Okay, I said we're in the birth pains. We're not in the tribulation. No, we're not. But we're in the birth pains of it. And you will see the characteristics of a one world order right in front of your eyes. Right in front of your eyes. You're going to live it. Those of you who are preachers sitting in this building today, you preach just as much as I have for years. You never thought you'd be living to see this day when it would come true right in front of your very eyes. But it's the time now for the church not to be silent, to stand up and preach messages about faith and messages about favor and messages about God's goodness for those kids that he loves to give over-generous treatment to. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Come on, somebody. I'm not worried a bit because I'm a child of the King. We've got favor. His anger, Psalm 30, verse 5, lasts for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Come on, weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know about you, but I might not be happy all the time, but I've got the joy of the Lord, and it is my strength. Come on, somebody. I've got the joy of the Lord. I might not be happy, but I've got joy. I might not be completely well this week. I might have a little headache, but I've got joy. I've got joy. I've got that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because I'm a child of the living God. Clap your hands in this sanctuary and bless the Lord. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph today. God is the good God, and he wants you to walk in faith, and he wants you to walk in favor. I was cleaning out my truck yesterday because my wife told me to. She asked me earlier in the week, she said, would you do me a favor? I said, sure, what is it? She said, you got two boxes in the back seat of your truck. And she said, they're full of stuff that really don't need to be in there. I said, you're right. She said, would you please take the time sometime this week and just clean those boxes out? I said, I'll do the best I can. Well, yesterday I had some time. So I opened that truck up, and I grabbed me a trash bag because I knew half of it needed to go in there. and I cleared out what was trash, and I cleared out what belonged in the house where it should have been all along, and I cleaned up that thing. And in my searching and in my cleaning, you know what I found? Oh, wow. Here's a Cold Stone's gift card. Cold Stone's ice cream. Thank God I found it after September the 11th, glory to God. I found one from Hardee's. I found a Starbucks card in my cleaning up my vehicle. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with favor? Listen, a lot of times you don't get it because you don't access it. That Cold Stone's gift card had been riding around in my truck since December of last year. And I could have had a lick of a Cold Stone ice cream sometime or another. But because I didn't access it, it never was found. I found Bojangles cards, Hardee's cards. Man, I could have had a glorified sausage biscuit. Come on, somebody. I could have gone through Bojangles like I normally do. Give me a bacon, egg, and cheese and a large unsweet tea. Is there anything else for you? Yeah, let me have one of them Bowberry biscuits to go along with it. Come on, somebody. You know, why'd you have to ask me that, lady? Why didn't you just keep on working? Have you ever noticed that they were trained to ask you, don't you want one of them sweet biscuits before you leave that speaker? See? But I never got to use that Bojangles gift certificate because it was riding around my truck and I never activated it. Think about all those gift cards you get at Christmas time. I know what you do with them. You do like most of us do. You stick them somewhere and forget them. Or you put them up right quickly. Anybody in the house want to buy one of these Walmart cards right here? Anybody go, hey, $7.5 I got now, $10 bill. Come on, if I quit preaching, I can auctioneer, okay? You take those cards and you shove them to the side, or you either make a deal with somebody and sell them. I'll give you a $25 Applebee's card for $20. Sold. See? So if you don't do what you're supposed to do with them and activate them, they don't get used. The blessings were there for you, but you just shoved them to the side, and they got lost and rode around in the truck. I found a belt card in my truck for $50. Many times as I've needed a new pair of socks. They must run in cycles because the last couple of weeks, I've taken my socks off in the evening, and I balled them up and threw them in the trash. What's the problem with them? They're all getting holes in the bottom. It is September, you know. But I had a Belk's gift card, and all I had to do was just go swipe and buy all the nice socks I wanted to. But I didn't activate it. The third thing you need is fortitude. Faith, favor, and fortitude. Y'all may not like this message, but I'm preaching myself just as content and happy. Fortitude. You need fortitude. What is fortitude, Pastor? It's endurance. It's when your quitter ain't broke, okay? You want to quit, but you don't. Why? Because, listen, you've got faith and you've got favor, and God wants you to have fortitude. It's defined as endurance. It's keep on no matter what. You know, when I pulled into Walmart last night to go run an errand, as I told you earlier, and that spirit began to dip. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not playing here. Pulled up to the Walmart parking lot, and I saw the sign, home. Home. Not grocery on the other end. Home and pharmacy or something like that. So I drive on down there. Oh, that's where I want to be. I'm going in to look for some wipes here. And I pulled up there and I got out and I saw that sign. One entrance that way. I felt the spirit of them cows running to slaughter. And I started, listen, in the natural, I'm just telling you the truth. I started getting angry. And I said, no. I just got back in my truck and I drove to the other end. And I parked down there where the other cows were. Mm-hmm. You, why were you doing that? Because I didn't want to walk so far. But when I go to Walmart, I feel that Antichrist spirit that says, here's the arrow. Here's the arrow. Make sure you got your mask on. I was in a restaurant, and I won't call the name, just a few weeks ago before the fast. Let me qualify here. Before the fast, I walked in, and the guy said, ho, ho. And I said, what's the wrong? He said, you don't have a mask on. And I said, okay, no problem. So I go out to the vehicle, and I grab my throwaway mask. I don't care enough about masks to buy one of them nice ones. I brought my throwaway mask, and I just put it on back in there, and I walked back in the door. Ho, 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 ho. And I said, what's wrong? He said, stand on that X. He said, can I help you? I said, yes, sir. Answer one thing for me. I looked around. I said, there's nobody in here but me in the foyer. Now, granted, there are people who are already seated, and they're having their meal, but I'm the only human being standing here. And between you and I is a great gulf fixed. Come on, you ever read that scripture? Between you and I, there is a piece of quarter-inch plexiglass hanging from the ceiling. What is the problem? He said, well, we're just trying to do this the right way. I said, okay. Philip's last name, party of four. I'm going to set back out my vehicle when this thing buzzes off. I think I'm still going to eat here. And I walked out. Can I just tell you something, friends? Go ahead and start playing. Whether you know it or not, the Antichrist spirit is rampant on the earth. It's rampant on the earth. And I know, listen, especially as you folks watching me, I know, you got people that are saying, oh, no, we're just trying to be safe. And I understand all that. And I don't have a problem with that. If you feel better about yourself doing that, go ahead. Okay? Go ahead. But would you please acknowledge that there's a greater spirit at work in our culture? It is the Antichrist spirit that seeks to control you and take away your, really? Your rights. Take away your rights. And they're going to try to destroy your faith. And they're going to try to convince you that favor does not surround you like a shield. And they're going to try to tell you, no, don't endure, no, quit, buckle under, take the mark. I got the mark right there, see it? Got a tattoo. I can't believe you're a Pentecostal preacher and you got a tattoo. You know why I got one? Because this man right here has a tattoo business. Okay? Now, I don't mind telling you in front of him because he knows how I feel. I don't like tattoos. Why? Because I'm afraid of what they'll look like when I'm 70. Okay? But he was getting ready to close down because the governor said, your shop's got to close along with everybody else's. What was the date of that day, Matthew? March the 3rd. He closes at what time, Matt? 5:30. 5 o'clock, I'm in the church. My wife is with me. I said, let's go. She said, where are we going? I said, I'm going to run down to Matt's for a minute. She said, why? I said, I'm going to get a tattoo. You know why I got a tattoo? Because I love him. Okay? You say, well, I can't believe you marked up your body like that. Believe it. There it is. It's on my wrist. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a constant reminder for me, lest I should ever forget it. And it meant more to me to invest in somebody that I believe in, who was in the meantime working his way back on the path that he had wandered off for some time. I love you, man. This guy and me have had arguments on the phone back and forth about the church. True? Okay? But guess what we did? We got it all under the bridge, all under the blood. Well, I think you should have waited about 6 months before you let him play your guitar. That's why I'm the pastor and you're not. I think he's doing a good job. Come on, give it up for Matt, the tattoo owner. Well, I don't like pierces in his ears. Well, as long as they're not in your ears, you don't have to have them, okay? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, John 13:35. What I believe is one of the initial physical evidences of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is you will have what? Love one for another, as long as they don't have tattoos. No, that's a lie. Love one for another. I prophesy over you, man. The Lord says, I saw you when you drifted away. The Lord says, I saw you when you even thought it in your heart. I saw your anger. I saw your resentment. But the Lord says, I've replaced all of that with my joy. And you shall walk through the valley of the shadow of death, says the living God, and you will fear no evil. For the Lord is with you. He is your shade upon your right hand. Enemies will rise up against you, and the Lord will cause them to fall and crumble, because your house is established on the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him praise. Fortitude. Sometimes you and I just encounter a spirit of quit. I've quit. I've resigned as a pastor many times on a Monday morning. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Some of y'all are thinking about quitting that relationship that you know God has ordained. I'm just going to leave him because he ain't treating me right. What did you say at the altar? I do. So you ain't being treated right, so you're just going to say, I quit. No. And for those of you who've done that, listen, move forward, put it in the past. His mercies are fresh and new every morning. God forgives. He still loves you. Just don't do it again. You ever hear Jesus say to that person, go, but don't do that again. Come on. Go and don't sin anymore. But the reality is, whatever it is that you do it because God called you, God gifted you, and God ordered your steps to do it. So you stop crying and you stop complaining and you get some divine fortitude to keep on no matter what. There are seasons during this COVID period when I feel sorry for myself because it's hard to be a pastor. I haven't stepped foot in a single hospital since the first week of March. I haven't been to a nursing home. I haven't been to a care facility. I've been to a single one. Haven't done it. Haven't done a lot of things. Haven't made visits to a lot of people because it's just a different season. And sometimes, in all honesty, sometimes I thought, well, you know, I'm 59. I've been here 29 years. And the Holy Spirit would say, Wallace, stop it. And in weeping, I would say, yes, Lord. Because I believe he's called me to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I'm not going to give up. Not only so, Romans 5, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. The word there is what? Fortitude. Perseverance or fortitude produces character, hope. Paul was the champion, man. He was the champion. Paul was the one who'd been through so much. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. I'm shutting down here. Somebody said, finally. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more, Paul says. I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. You ever been flogged? No. I've been cussed out, but I haven't been flogged. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one equals what? 39. Because they believed if you gave the 40th lash, death was on the way. So 5 times I got 39, Paul said. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my fellow Jews, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country, danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored, toiled, often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. Besides everything else, I face all of the care of the churches. Somebody asked me this morning, Pastor, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? I said, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm doing ministry to pastors on the phone this morning. I'm pastoring this church. I'm getting ready to preach. I just turned in my information from 3 weeks' worth to the North Carolina District Council of the Assemblies of God. I've got some emails I need to send out this morning for the Barnabas Project because church is coming up soon. And when I get my mind on that, it's all over with. I'm going the distance. So just give me 5 minutes to do what I need to do. And I'll hear Paul say, man, that's nothing. You ain't got nothing. Yes, I do, Lord. I have faith. I have favor. And I have fortitude. And I'm not going to quit. And I'm speaking to somebody right now. I'm getting a word of knowledge from someone who's, you've had your hands on the plow. You've labored in the ministry. You've had your hands on the plow. You've seen God do incredible things. But the spirit of quit has come to you so many times in the last 3 to 6 months. And you've been so, so, so angry, questioning, God, why am I going through this? Listen, God says, I want you to come right now. Come on, just come. Stand and come. God's got an amazing, incredible breakthrough for you today if you'll stand up in faith and just come stand right where I am. Come on. Come on, man, woman, boy, girl, I don't know who you are. God bless you, sir. Word of knowledge. I need some preachers to gather around this guy right here and lay your hands on him. Come on. Come on. He was bold and courageous. And the breakthrough is coming for you, sir. The breakthrough is coming. I see a wave. I see a wave just going like that. And everything in front of it is going to push all the trash, all the things that are in your way is going to be pushed out supernaturally. God's going to send a tsunami in your situation. Come on, pray for him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your honesty and your courage. If you're here today and somehow the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and you'd say, Pastor, you read my mail today. I need faith, I need favor, and I need fortitude. Why don't you come around this altar? Well, we got to be 6 feet apart. Why don't you come to the altar? Why don't you come and stand in his presence? Just come and stand. Watch to your left, watch to your right. Just come and stand. Stand in his presence and let God pour into you today the oil and the wine. What you need for this moment. What you need for the next moment. Come on, the Holy Ghost is dealing with several of you. Don't pass this by. Don't pass this by. Hallelujah. Come on, I need to hear some Holy Ghost praying over this guy. He's in the battle. He's in the war field. I said to you earlier, the Lord says there's a tsunami in the spirit that is getting ready to push. I hear the Lord say push and wash away those things that have hindered you for so long, those things that have attacked you for so long. The Lord says, pow, I'm getting ready to release that tsunami in the spirit. And all of this, I hear the Lord say, all of this is going to be washed away. And you will stand up on dry ground and say, this is the Lord God Almighty, because no one else could do it. Criticisms. I hear the Lord say people have criticized you. Criticisms. Wrong treatment. Unfortunate behavior. The Lord is saying to you, I'm going to wash all that away. And on the other side of this season, God says, watch out, a new you is going to emerge. Crystal, you're going to see a brand new husband. You're going to see a brand new man with fire on his tongue, with tenacity in his spirit, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, man. Let God just empower you right now. And from your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh baptism of your power today. Thank you, God, for a second touch today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord this morning.
And there is no other. Why is it that you ask for so little when I want to give so much? Yea, if you will just trust me, saith the Lord, I have called you to become princes and not paupers. Why is it that you do not trust me? Have I ever failed you? Yea, I have seen you walking through the mire, but it's my desire that you walk upon the marble. For my name is God, and I am. I am not a used to be God. I am a right now God. Yea, I walk in your presence, and I want you to know that there is no past, only a future. But in order to know the future, you must know me. For it is my will to guide your footsteps. Walk in me, saith God, and you shall see where I want to take you. I have given you all that I am, and I have taken all that you were. I make you my glory. Show it, saith the Lord, and let others know that I am he that establishes your footsteps. I am a God not only of the present, but I am a God of the future. Yea, walk in me, saith God. Be what I want you to become. Know that you cannot become what I want you to become if you stay what you are. But I have called you forth, saith God. And if you go forth, you must walk. Walk in me and trust in me, saith God, for I am that I am.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship him. Worship him. Go ahead, guys.
So, Pastor testified on your prophesy this morning, and I heard your heart during your service, so I'm going to play these words, and it's an old song, but it's just going to speak your heart. I believe you might remember it. So.
In the secret and the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret and the quiet, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to love you. I want to do your ways. I want to love you more.
Yes, Lord.
I want to know. I want to see your face. I want to.
on, give it up to the Lord this morning. People coming back to faith in Christ today, right over here. Coming back to faith in Christ. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come before you today with gratitude, thanksgiving in our hearts, God, because you still speak to us. Thank you for faith. Thank you for favor. Thank you for fortitude. To step on in the midst of controversy and difficulty, God, to stand firm, knowing not a single weapon against us shall prosper. We thank you, God, for victory and not defeat. Thank you for your promises, Lord, to your people that are yes and amen to those that believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great day. Let me share one more thing. Longtime members, leaders in this congregation, the Undama Kongs, I noticed that they're here. Would you guys stand, please? Praise the Lord. Good to see you guys. Praise God. Thank God for Miss Audrey for today that we celebrate her. Please join us in the fellowship hall for our meal now. Your family, if a Brabble family, if you would, please stand first and be dismissed. We appreciate that. God bless you all. Let them get back there first this morning. Praise the Lord. Hang on to the word, folks. Hang on to the word. Faith, favor, and fortitude. This is my time. My time to prosper. My time to plant, bloom, and be planted. Reproduced. Blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great day. Amen.